and bitter, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
You love him?
I want to see you.
Amen and amen, and we see him in the Word, right? It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to 1 Peter 4. Ephesians 1, 1 Peter 4. Good to see everybody. Good to see Brother Cochran back there with us. He made through everything, and the Lord took care of him.
Amen.
You know, so we appreciate that. And this coming up Monday will be Memorial Day. We appreciate all of the veterans and all the service people and everything that has served to, you know, to try to keep us free as much as we can and all. And we certainly appreciate it, certainly honor them. And we honor all of the home front, too, because, you know, they have just as much to do with the war as the people that are actually out there fighting, maybe not getting shot at, but yet having to supply everything to take care of. So we honor everybody on this day to recognize you and appreciate you, you know, for what you're doing to keep us at least to this time enough peace to be able to come together and have church and do things and all, and maybe shortly taken from us, but that's all right. We'll be all prepared against that day and won't have to worry about it. Amen. So remember that. The next announcement, as far as anybody coming, Brother Prakash will be with us on the 15th of June. So that'll be on a Wednesday. So remember that. And then remember the meeting for the 4th of July weekend, but it won't be on the 4th of July. It'll be the 2nd and the 3rd. And Brother Keith Reed will be here with us for the services and that. So just remember that. It'll be 40 years, you know, for us to be here in this church and going, and we just appreciate the Lord taking care of us. Yeah. Right. If you would, all of the sisters that are planning on taking the trip together there in June up to Pigeon Forge, would you meet downstairs at, like, between the evening services, say, like 1 o'clock? Because you need to get together and make sure and know who's going and what's going to be done and how many places you need for the places to eat and the things like that. So just remember that. Any other announcements? I know I generally forget something anymore. All right. Ephesians 1 and 1 Peter 1. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all things, and we know you give them to us freely. And we just ask you to help us and guide us. Forgive our sins, because we know we fail you. We know that we have many, many problems, but yet you've always overlooked them to be able be to where that you could come down and fellowship with us and, Lord, reveal your word, and we thank you. We ask you to just come and be with us today, Lord, and bless each one, and just thank you, Father, as we approach this coming Monday as a Memorial Day of a time, but we appreciate all of those that have given their lives and Lord, that are giving their lives now today, men and women around the world, that we could have this freedom to be able to speak. But we thank you for all of those that are on the home front supplying, as we said, the materials, the things to help people, Lord, to be able to be there and do their part. We love you and we thank you, and just bless each one. Keep us safe in your grace. Forgive us, Father, for sinning against you, because we know we do continually. But we know that you cover us by your blood. Have your way now. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts. And bless Wade and June today as they'll be traveling back home. Be with him there in the services. And Lord, guide each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. I keep reading this because we're still dealing with predestination. Now remember, it is not the person that comes predestinated eternally. It is the word or seed of God. All right. But then there has to be a place. See, when Martin Luther, when he reached a place, God came down with a word. He had to be in the right place for God to bring the word to him. There had to be all kind of troubles in Israel before God sent Moses. There's always doing. But see, in here we come down and we're trying to talk on it because in this day, time and eternity is going to have to meet right here. If not, when will it meet? It will have to meet sometime. Why can't we believe that we're here at that time where it can take place? All right? See, and that's the only thing I've been trying to tell you and to get a point to you. Okay, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And we go over to 1 Peter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Now keep that in mind. It's to try you. All right? As though some strange thing happened unto you. In other words, don't count it strange when things start going wrong. They're to try you. All right? Now, is that true then? All right. But, what does it say? But rejoice. Now, Brother Richard and I were talking this morning about the things that are going on around the world. You know, that was told us by the prophet and is told us by the Bible that will take place, right? That is the word of God, and it will not be changed. It will take place. But we don't rejoice because people are being killed. No, we feel sorry for those people. But the word of God is going to be fulfilled. So we rejoice because of the word, right? Now, you understand what it's getting to? But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, keep in mind what we're talking about. Adoption. And showing it in three stages, you know, to try to break it down to where we can understand it better. And see, not missing the things that we need to see, because the whole stage of a person's journey in Christ is adoption, bringing us into the family of God. See? And in doing that, we become God's children. He adopts us into the family, as we'll get back to it in a little bit, you know, in the message, because, see, it's hard to say, to just come out and say something without explaining it, because, you know, people will go so many different ways with what you're saying. So I try to take it slow and you know, and I'm sorry. That's just the way I am, I guess. But I want you to understand, see, even like that, as I'll repeat this in a minute, even like the Lord Jesus, when he reached a certain age there in his natural life, he was probably adopted because of the customs that the people of Israel had. He probably went through that bar mitzvah, ever how you pronounce that big old word that means their adoption. He went through that naturally. And he was born to Almighty God. All right? But yet, he went through a River Jordan experience, a Mount of Transfiguration experience, and a change of the body. All right? See, but yet still, you don't discount that he was naturally adopted. See? But the natural adoption didn't do his spiritual adoption. So then one of them would be a natural situation of life, that we adopt people's children and all. But in the spiritual condition, God doesn't adopt somebody else's children. He only adopts his own children. All right? So that's a different doing, and you've got to keep that in mind, because the human mind will just throw into gear in different things, and you won't understand. But now, I'll repeat some of that in a minute, but I want you to get it, because the last message we were trying to explain, or have been trying to explain, that there is a time in a Christian's journey that you are born again. That makes you a child of God. That fulfills Romans 8, about 14 and 15 there, where by the Spirit of adoption, see, you receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption. All right, we've found that in trying to bring it, that it is not the... Now, Brother Brown said God gives us a Holy Spirit to tutor us. All right, but the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. Or else you got two gods, you know, or Jesus, Brother Brown said, would have two daddies. So that wouldn't work. So the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God, the Father, whatever you want to call it, would be the self-same Spirit. So in the natural adoption, the tutor is hired by the Father to tutor the child, you know, which is a different person. But in the spiritual condition of adoption, God comes down to live in you and I by the new birth, and that is the tutor to child train us and to bring us to the place to where that it can be finished, that we can do the other parts of the doing. That's why I titled it Adoption in Three Stages, because I believe in things being progressive. I believe in progressive revelation. I don't believe God gives it all to you at one time. I believe he gives it to us gradually, all right? I believe in things, all in life is progressive. You're eating, you're growing, and things like that. It's progressive, all right? In science, it's progressive. Look at the science from, even in my day of coming from a horse and we couldn't even afford a buggy. A mule and a wagon is what we had, and going to church in a mule and wagon, and you know, and then coming up to where, you know, you're in the jet airplane and the interplanetary travels and all of the things. So everything is progressive. Well, why would we worry to think about God doing his ways in a progressive form, you know, to do it? All right. See, now, the child training then is what's been going on from the time you receive the new birth. And if you receive it today, that starts your child training. That's why we don't preach something as a blunt thing. You know, we get... A man the other day sent one and said, all redemption's over, you know, and there's no more people being saved and all this, that, and the other. Well, you know, I don't agree, because I faced that when I first come in the message there in 67, and they said you couldn't be saved after 63. I said, I'm sorry, because I'm going to seek God until I get it. Well, you know, in 1969, I received it, and, you know, I didn't have no more problems with no troubles or even thoughts about it, because I experienced it. See, I don't care what you think about me. That's what I'm saying about what happened. So then, you know, that would bring it to a place of to me. But now watch. See, I believe your child training has been going on. All right? The last couple of messages, I've stressed heavily on the basis that we're looking back to what somebody done, some experience, some Pentecost, our Brother Branham, you know, and his ministries, etc., and trying to compare what's going on now with that. Well, now, Brother Branham said that was wrong, because he said you're looking back, and only the frog looks back. All right? But now, see, we can throw that basis, but he said it's just as bad to look forward, because there is no future. You know, tomorrow's not here yet. All right? But see, we're looking for something great to happen, and forgetting what's taking place. Now, that's what your prophet said about it, and he said that was the biggest mistake mankind had made. Well, I call it the denominational mix-up, because that's what's exactly the Antichrist is trying to do. He's trying to get us to look back. He ain't saying this message is wrong. You notice that in the past, this is getting something to you. If you notice in the past 10 years, all right, you know that we had little problems, and we'd have a little flare-up here, a little dude here, and they'd try to attack the message this way, and they try to attack the message that way, and they would make fun of us. But if you noticed, you hadn't paid attention in about maybe 10 years or maybe even longer, you know, we're becoming one of them. I told you 10, 15, 20 years ago. I said, you let this thing go on, And one day we'll be one of the biggest denominations there is. Because there's millions around the world. There's probably over 1 million in Africa that claims this message. Thank God for every one. And see, we can say, fear not, little flock. See, we use that for our own doing. But remember, it's always, we say, little flock. That means we and the rest of you. That's like a man up in South Carolina years ago. He didn't believe in having a relationship with your wife. Boy, preached against it. You know why? He's 80 years old. I'm playing. Why worry about it? See? It's, you know. But you see, there's always, like I said, fear not, little flock. That means me in a little amount. Well, why not? I want everybody in the world saved. I know they won't be. But I want it for them. See? I like the way Brother Branham made it. He said the third pull is for the bride and the church. Read your quote. And to the totally lost. We want to say for the bride and to the totally lost. You better read your quote. Because see, even the foolish virgin getting in her place and things like that is the opening of God's word. All right? Now, but I'm just trying to get you to a point of looking at it. See, I believe something's been going on for the past 40-something years since the prophet has left. All right? Now, I just got to explain it. If you receive the Holy Ghost today, that's when you're starting your tutoring training. But if you receive the Holy Ghost 50 years ago, you've been in training and tutoring. All right? Now, you understand what I'm saying? That's been what's been going on. Well, why can't we look at it like that to say something is going on instead of saying we don't see nothing going on? But back yonder now, oh, yes. Back there, well, that's what the Bible said people would say, had we been back there. See, people have said to me, you know, if I'd have been back there with Jesus, they wouldn't have crucified him, I'd have fought. Well, what are you doing now? Yeah. See, what we're doing now proves what we would have done then or we'll do later. See, tomorrow rests upon what we have today. But God is ever present, the I am, which means ever present for eternity. All right? And see, that's the point we've got to do now. Remember, I kept stressing it. See, we're looking for something to happen or looking back to what has happened instead of seeing what's going on. And when I sit in an office a while ago thinking, I try my best to explain things. But in doing that, I get in trouble. I've tried my best to explain this message and got in trouble. Because people think I'm just an intellectual person that's explaining it intellectually. And when I say that you bring Paul and Peter and them down here to where we are, and they'd be glad to say, let me go back to the grave. Because they didn't face 969 different denominations in 2000 in this message. They only faced the Sadducees, Pharisees, and maybe a couple little sling-offs. They didn't have the 200,000 demons. According to what they say, I reckon that's 200 million. Well, if there's 200 million in this message, we all got an extra demon besides all the demons we already had. Right? But you see, everybody wants to look back or look forward. See, I've been looking at this for 40-something years of the child training, the tutoring. I've preached on these things down through the years. See, it's been the time that you and I had to have. See? Without child training, you can't go up to a transfiguration experience. See, that's what everybody wants. Boy, I get when I got born again, I got everything. I'm ready to go. I'm just waiting on y'all. Yeah, well, a lot of y'alls is gone. That was waiting on us. Well, but now listen, I've tried to make my point to this. The prophet of God said, and I didn't give you the quote on this one now, but it's on, who is this, Melchizedek, 1965. He said, the predestinated is the only ones considered in redemption. All right? Now, he says the royal seed of Abraham is the only ones considered. All right? So God don't adopt the devil's children. But he has to give us the new birth to make us his children. Oh, we're all sons. Yeah, we're all sons and daughters because God gave us life. That's natural. That's what I was saying a while ago. Jesus went through a natural adoption at somewhere maybe around 13 years of age or something, because it was a custom. But that didn't stop him from having to go through the River Jordan, the Mount of Transfiguration, and the crucifixion and resurrection. See? One of them was a natural thing. The other one is a spiritual thing. All right? And see, we're born again into the family of God to bring us to being God's children. See? All right, but see, I know what the quotes of the people of the message. Oh, I always was eternal. Well, then, why don't you take, and I'll help you. I know I'm arrogant and hateful and mean, but I'll borrow money to help send you in that next spaceship that goes up into those rockets. It goes up, you know, because we don't need you here. You know, if you're already packed up and ready to go up, we'll just have to send you up. You say, well, that's silly. Well, maybe it is, but it'll get the point across. You'll remember what I said. Because I believe you've got to be born again to have eternal life. The prophet, you say, he said, I always was eternal. You better read the rest of the message, because in the same message, he said, if you have eternal life, you always was eternal. That's what we ought to get to. But see, people don't like that. They want quotes that make them feel good. You know, they don't want the truth of the gospel. But the prophet said the predestinated was the only ones considered in redemption. All right? See, then we must become, as I tried my best to bring to you, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the new birth, we become the children of God. And receiving the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is our tutor, which is the Spirit of the Father. This is not a natural story of God hiring somebody, a second person, sending them to you to tutor you. It's the Holy Spirit, which is God Himself, comes back into new birth. The prophet said your new birth is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in you, in the new birth. Right. Well, I thought it was, well, what you thought ain't worth 2 cents, and what I thought ain't either. All right. Now, let me just state it this way. See? Then the adoption truly starts at the new birth. But it'll be completed only when the redemption is finished, you know, and we're the bodies are changed and we become to immortality. All right? See? That's just like I've always taught you, and you know it. I taught you the new birth starts the day you receive the eternal life, right? But it'll finish the day you receive an eternal body. This body made eternal will be the new birth finished. All right? So is adoption. It starts with a new birth. It is completed when we leave out of here. All right? So we're in the process, see, of it taking place. See? Now wait till this evening when we give some other definitions and all. But we know that according to Romans 8, like verse 19, that the whole world has been waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I want to ask you something about that. That means whole creation. It means animals, world, trees. It means everything's waiting, right? Because it said, you know, the creation, the world and all. Do you think the world's wanting to come to an end? Now, I'm asking you a simple question. Do you think the world is wanting to come to an end? Do you think the animals is wanting the world to be annihilated? Do you think the trees are wanting the grass, the creation? You think that, see, when we read that, we just look at it, the whole world's waiting. It's not waiting for the finality. The world's not groaning for the finality. The dead that's in the grave is not wanting the finality. It's wanting manifested sons and daughters of God to be here that can call them out of the grave and bring them back to standing here on earth. Not an annihilation. See, we just take something and just, well, the whole world's waiting. Oh, boy, won't it be something? 1 of these days the world will be so happy. It won't be happy when it's going through a burning over. And all the animals and things are being destroyed. No, that's not what it is. It's waiting for the manifestation. Waiting for a group of people to recognize who they are. Here. Because I believe in eternal life here. I've never taught you anything up in heaven that we got to go there. It's what I said, that you go too far that way, you go too far that way. Don't do neither one. Get what's here. According to my Bible and the prophet I've studied out for 40-something years now, I thought we was going to be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, right here. I thought we was ahead of the world and the basis of where that our redemption would be completed here and we would step into eternal life. And the world will go on. See? It'll go for at least another 3.5 years. Because they just really get the message when we leave out of here. All right? See, why worry about it? But my point, see, is I keep putting it in here. Don't look backward to other people and things and try to judge what's going on. Think about what would happen if you brought those people down to this situation that you and I are existing under. When the prophet of God said, the spirit of them that died and gave their lives under the lines and the things like that, he said, is the same spirit you use daily just to overcome. He said it was easy to walk up and say, I'm a Christian back then, and they'd kill him. But see, everybody's Christian now. Yeah. Oh, we're just wanting to change it and make different names out of it. And Muslim, Hindus, and this, that, and that, whatever, you know. Because nobody's lost. We all got a happy hunting ground. Yeah. Right? But see, we're not to look back to what some people were doing to compare what God is doing. Neither are we to look forward to something that we're expecting to come, which we are expecting that. But we can't get over there. I want to get on that, but I got this message and one in between, and then I'll try to get down to the headstone and the situation and what we're looking at. But now listen. The prophet has brought the message, but the people must take the message and make the message alive. You agree? That's what it's waiting on. The Bible doesn't say that the whole world is groaning, waiting for Malachi 4 in the basis of Sagest Brother Branham. Now, read your Bible. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, plural, not singular. Not just waiting for Brother Branham. Now, we know for certainty without him coming first, there would be no hopes for you and I being anything. And I told you there the other day and said over and over, the creation for a moment in Brother Branham saw their master. Yeah. Because they saw a man that could stand there and God would back up his word. All right? Now, but you see, look what your prophet had to say on Christ the Mystery of God revealed. He says our headship is a kingdom. This is preached 1963, 728, which is page 76. But let's get to the part at the bottom there, 76. See, the kingdom of God is within you. The Bible says the kingdom. We are not a denomination. We belong to a kingdom. And the kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in our own life, bringing to pass ever promise in this day as it did in that day. No. This day as it did in that day. Watch. When the word and God was one. Okay. That was in Jesus Christ, right? All right, now watch. And the word and God is one in his church today. Now listen, didn't it say the prophet said in his church? Making it the headship of the body that is redeemed to bring the message in the last days and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection to go back and to restore again as Adam and Eve in the beginning at the Garden of Eden. So what's the world waiting on? Manifestation of sons and daughters of God, right? To where that they'll come that the head and body can unite. Now I'll go ahead and tell it to you, then I'll preach it to you wait a few weeks down the road. See, to me the headstone is what you receive at the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God as an example of a Mount of Transfiguration experience. See, that's why it hasn't happened. Because it has to be an ever bride member for it to come forth into its fullness. That ought to be sensible. But I'll get to that later. See? But he said that making the headship of the body that is redeemed to bring the message. Well, I thought there wasn't nothing left. I had Brother Branham left. Well, it's not. The people in Luther's day didn't add one word to what Luther said. They had more, a whole lot more mechanics. Right? More people. And more getting into the Word. But they never added a word. I offended them in a minister's meeting one time. I said, when them seals broke to me in 1979, I said, and all through there, I said, you ain't added one word to what I said. And boy, they didn't like it. But I still stand with it today. I didn't say nobody hadn't preached more than I did. I wouldn't have not even thought of it. See, that's where I say something. Then if I don't explain it, I get into trouble. Then when I do explain it, I get into trouble. So I'm in trouble. Just call me trouble. All right? But you see what it's doing? You know, how much have I tried to emphasize, can you recognize your day in its message? Well, yeah, I'm pointing out, all right, people on tape or anything, I'm pointing in one direction, like, yeah, we're looking back. Yeah, we're looking back. We're looking at what Brother Branham. All right. Wonderful. Thank God. But I thought he was pointing to you and I. I thought, according to, at least in the church age book, he said this prophet would be pointing to a word-born bride. As I said, Martin Luther, see, it wasn't Martin Luther that put that thing that made him get that to going. It wasn't his 90-something thesis nailed on the door that made it get out. It was the people that began to live the message Martin Luther was preaching. Then the Catholic Church got worried. They wasn't worried about one man. They could excommunicate him, cut his head off, leave him gone. But when the people started getting the message, so it is in the end time. When the bride begins to realize the prophet said who she is. Then say when the prophet realized who he is. He knew who he was. See? All right? Well, what are we to do? See? So we've been in a child training period. He said, well, it looked like we ought to be trained by now. Well, you know, when you make that statement, you are the one that hasn't been trained. Is that blunt enough? Nobody got any problem with what I just said? If you got that thought, then that means you're the one I'm talking about. You're the one that hasn't taken the child training and let it develop you. See? Because you wouldn't be saying that like that. See? Because you would be saying, hey, like I told you about the two brothers, that one said he got all the Holy Ghost, had everything when he was born again. The other said, you ain't got nothing yet. And I said, brothers, I'm just somewhere in the middle. Well, you know when I tried to explain a quote to them? Both of them ridiculed me for making it. Brother Branham said he met people that received the Holy Ghost 50 years before him, exactly like the day of Pentecost. That's a direct quote. You know that both of them ridiculed me for the answer I gave? But what's the answer you know? Because you've been taught it. That there's a difference in the upper room experience of the 120 in the upper room and the 3,000 downstairs. The 120 in the upper room went to the faith of the fathers. They received the Holy Spirit right here. But on the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit right here. That's a simple answer. But both of them ridiculed me. Neither one of them took what was said. See, nobody else won either, but there's one thing about it, it's there. All right. Now, I've tried to explain. So I'm going to give you an example. I've tried to explain our child training, you know, through life. I've tried to explain that even Jesus, in his natural life, he had child training. Yet he was Almighty God, because the Bible said he went home with them and was subject. That's when he was like 13 years old, when he was over, you know, with the doctors and the lawyers talking to them, about 13 somewhere, whatever what he was, 16, whatever year you got. The Bible said he went home and was subject unto them. He had child training. Well, see, that was what was so hard to me because I couldn't get him figured out. I guess I was too much of a oneness maybe, but I just couldn't see that he could hurt himself because he was God. And I'm sorry, that's what I used to think. You know, I thought he was God, and he was. But I thought he couldn't fall and hurt himself. You know, he'd start to fall, and an angel would just lift him up. And, you know, and a little kid running along, he'd stumble, you know, like, look, how many little kids have you fall one fell or got the door hung today on the foot and everything, you know? I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I'm glad God opened my eyes. I believe he went through days of life as a child. See? Brother Branham went through it. Why wouldn't we believe Jesus? He said he cut his mama's rug up and hung up in the tree and hollered for Tarzan. Right? See? Why couldn't we believe that Jesus went through that? You know, he had to nurse his mother, you know. He didn't just come into the world and just lay there and just, never done nothing. He used the bathroom. He had to be trained for potty, you know, and training and all this, that, and the other. But you see, when he come up to the, about to 13 years of age, because that's somewhere in that, 13, 15, 16, whatever you'll make it, when he come to that place that he was with the Pharisees, okay? You know that there's like, you know, right at 15 years or something, between there and his time of appearing on the River Jordan. All right. You know, that's called the silent years. There's no writings of what he done. There's fictional things brought up, you know, that he done this, the Book of Maccabees and all of the different things. But they call it the silent years because there wasn't anything written. But now I guess you think, well, he's just, well, I'll be glad when next year gets here. I'll be glad when the next year gets here. I'm going to get up and go do something. Now, that's just plumb silly. You say, you're silly. I know what I am. But it gets the point across. He went through child training. He went through life. And see, for 40-something years, we've been going through child training. Right? That's what's been going on. That's why it hurts me when people say nothing ain't going on. Oh, if it was just like it was back there, even in Azusa Street. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll see whether you're right or not. But get the point. We've been going through a child training period. And it's been the silent years. But you can't say that here about everything because God has been on the scene here for a lot of things that we could talk about all day, right? Many miracles, many signs, many wonders, dead raised, sick healed. I used to say I'd seen everything but the dead raised and the eyes open. The only thing I want to see now is blinded eyes open because I've seen the dead raised and I ain't worried about the rest of it. So, well, it might, okay. Why would you doubt it? What's the problem? See? All right. But now listen. There was plenty going on in Jesus' life. From the time he was there with those, you know, talking to the Pharisees and the things, it's called the silent years. But it wasn't, God wasn't silent. He was living his life. He was doing great things. His mother must have had so much confidence until when it comes to where that he first begins to appear, she tells them about the wine, you know, the whatever he tells you do, do it. She might have seen a lot of things took place, you know. Because I don't think he was just sitting around and wasn't doing it. I believe they were sick being healed. All kind of things was happening in his life that he could just go and lay hands on somebody while it was coming up through that period of time. All right, I hope you get the example. It's called the silent years. So if we want to call that the silent years of 40-something years since the prophet left the scene, I still say something's been going on. It's been our opportunity to get settled in the Word. All right. It's done a lot of church changing. A lot of people's come here. A lot of people's left here. All right. I don't say anything. I'll just go ahead and tell you this because some of you wonder anyway. Brother Arline called me the other day and said he won't be back at church. He's going down to Brother McGarity's. Okay? I told him, I said, you big boy. He said, nothing wrong with the church. He said, it's my private matters. I said, okay. I said, that's your choice. But you see, I don't set people off the word because they leave here. Only thing I've ever said, if you leave here and you find more than what we got here, let me know where I can go eat. You say you wouldn't do it. Well, try me. Okay? At least there's one thing about it. We'll get the tapes. But now listen. See, Jesus was a child, a natural child. And he came to a natural adoption into that family according to what their traditions were. But then when it come to the River Jordan, he started a spiritual condition. Not a natural. A spiritual condition. That started with him, you know, going forth and being identified. Now, I've preached that to you, right? See? And then I said, when we receive the new birth, we're identified. Because we're in a spiritual kingdom. See? Our headship, we read in Christ the mystery of God revealed, our headship is a kingdom. Yeah. What is that kingdom? The Spirit of God living in us. Right. Now, see, the spiritual kingdom, our spiritual adoption started when Jesus received his River Jordan experience, and it starts with you and I in the new birth. Because when Jesus received there, and the quotes are there, we agree with it 100%. The prophet said he became the fullness of the Godhead bodily on the River Jordan. I agree with that 1,000% because, see, that would put then him in a position that he could teach us as he growed. Are you listening? As he growed. Because the Bible says, the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. So as Jesus growed in the new experience of coming forth on the day of his baptismal service, he didn't have to have that. We know the story. He didn't have to receive the new birth. We know the story. He was the new birth. Amen. See? But yet what he done, he went through that as examples for us. All right. See, then he went to the most horrible training to the backside of the desert for 40 days and nights without water or food, and you can't go without water. Here in this climate where we're at, you can't go down to the swamps and sit down there in the swamps and live for 40 days without drinking water. So it proved he had to be Almighty God. Because he went according to the Bible. Of course, you can argue about it. Well, I don't know whether that was. Well, okay, argue about it. Do what you want to. You're digging your own hole anyway. But you see, the Bible said 40 days and 40 nights with no water, no food. Yeah. Started his training then. From that experience, he started his training. The Holy Spirit was there to bring forth the message that was needed. We start our training. His lasted for about 3 years, and then he goes to the Mount of Transfiguration. Our training has been over 40 years to bring us to a place that we start with our new birth, and then we must come to the place of adoption. You know, eventually we will receive that. See, we receive the new birth, which is the spiritual kingdom, to make us a child of God. The Holy Spirit, being the tutor, begins the process of adoption. Now, put that down. It begins a process, not a completion, a process. A process means you just step into whatever is moving or doing, you know, and you're going forth. That's a process. I don't mean it's complete. See? But what I want us to see is that we have been going through that process since we received the new birth. See? All right? Most of you that are here, other than the young ones coming along, would say you received the Holy Spirit maybe, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Huh? Maybe some of you would even say 50 years ago or more. Well, all right, you started the process. To prove that it was the Holy Spirit, You came to the message. Some of us receive the Holy Spirit after coming into the message. That don't change anything. But it's still whether or not we agree with the Word. All right? Now, so something's been going on. To me, was the most important thing that could ever be is the child training of our journey. Yes, people say they got more out there, they got more out there. Okay, let's see what God says about it. See, now don't miss it. Remember, don't look back and don't look forward. Look at what's being done. Now, I write it down, so I just read it to you. But people say, I don't see much going on. Why, them denominations have more signs than we do. As a whole, I agree with you. I said as a whole, because there's a whole lot more of them. Right? Only is that purpose. See? But that's part of your child training. Now, we're going to get real serious here about something that you better think. Because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. All right? See, part of our child training is to what? To see if we will stay with the Word. Is that your child training? That's a child training? To see whether you'll stay with the Word. No, it's the nature of the Father. God help us. We've become educated idiots. I want to ask you a question. See, the part of our child training is whether or not we'll stay with the Word or follow signs and wonders. But I want to ask you a serious question right there. Who does the signs and wonders? No man can heal. I don't care who he is, Brother Branham or who it was. Even Jesus couldn't heal. He could speak the Word. All right. Now, that's not agreeing with Brother So-and-so up yonder that said Jesus, no. The Son of Man had power to forgive sins. He had power to heal. But it's because he spoke the Word. Okay? All right? Now, who is doing the signs and wonders? No matter where it is, whether it be in the body of Christ or where it be around the world or where it be the Pope laying his hands on people or where it be in the Beatles with their songs and people getting up and walking. Okay, come on. You're supposed to be understanding what I'm getting at. Who's doing it? God is doing it. If anybody's ever healed anywhere, God heals them. Right? Sure, when the Beatles got it mixed up in a row, the people forgot themselves and jumped up and run off walking. But God was the one that done the healing. Right? All right, then, get it down right. So if God is doing the healing, he must be really doing what we read in a Peter, that all these things is to try us. To see if we'll stay with the Word. God is doing the healing to try you and me. People say, well, hey, we ain't got as much as the Beatles. We can't work up to people enough to get them healed. Well, it wouldn't matter if we could. God is the only healer there is. All right? Now get to the point of what I'm getting at. I'm trying to lay down something. See, God is trying his church. He's been doing that for 40-something years. He's been trying us to see if we'd stay with the Word. Right? See, he's trying his church. Turn with me over in Deuteronomy. And let's see how God tries his children. All right? See, we'll have to read that in Deuteronomy or the scripture there where it says if a prophet give a sign and it come to pass, we're supposed to believe the prophet. Amen. But what about this scripture? What about Deuteronomy 13? What about this scripture? Let's see what God says he's doing. We read over there in Peter that he was trying us with the things. Let's see how he does it. Everybody got it? Deuteronomy 13:1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and give thee a sign or a wonder. Now listen. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. Now you understand what that means. Somebody get up and tell you, I want to show you that I am of God because there's 10 dead people laying right here in front of me and I'm going to speak the word and they're going to raise up. And they do. Now what are you going to do? I'm going to praise God for the raising, but I got to do something else about the guy that's doing it. Well, I'll just run. That's what people do, see. Get a little something going in the message, and boy, they just run after it. And they just run after it, and they run after this, and run after that. And it's the same people running here and the same people that run there. They run after this in a while, then they run after that in a while. Boy, we got it, we got it, we got it. And then you're just down they go, you know. Who here is Brother So-and-so? We got it. We got it. Yeah. Now you know it's true. You that have been around any time, you know it's true. You want to call names? Listen. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, listen, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. You remember in when the children of Israel was down there, you remember what old Dathan and Korah and them was going to do? They made that golden calf, you know. They were going to take that golden calf. I never did believe. I'm just plain language. I never did believe they'd going back to Egypt to be slaves. They'd going back to Egypt as victorious, and they was going to say, you was afraid of us. Look what happened under Moses. We got to God. They had a plan. They know what they're doing. We said, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Now, God gives you a sign. He raises 10 dead people. What are you going to do? Boy, he's got to be right. No. You've got to check him. Now, how are you going to check him? Well, I'll check him by this other guy that raised 20 people from the dead. Now, don't be. I know I play around when I say things like that and try to make it hard, but I make it as a point. Turn over to Deuteronomy 18. Let's see how you check him. Let's see what God says for you to do. Everybody got it? Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Listen. How are you going to know the difference? Okay, let's read. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? In other words, how are we going to know whether this is of God or not? Right? The man spoke it, it come to pass. How are you going to know? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing faller not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Check him by the word. If he's carrying you, the other one was reading, carries you to another God. Now, of course, in the message, you're not going to hear people preach a Trinity. But you hear them preach two lords, and Jesus wasn't God at the River Jordan, and see, they got the smooth way of doing it. You don't hear them say Brother Branham was wrong, other than maybe a few quacks. And one of them that teaches two lords said he wished he hadn't wrote the things in the church age book that he did that Brother Branham said because he didn't agree with them. Now, that's what he said, so just go ahead. See? Well, of course, that's, you know, that's all right. That's brother. Well, God sends signs among you to try you. God heals the sick out there. You agreed with that. Come on, you ought to know better than to agree with it sometimes, because you know I got a reason for bringing it if I ever ask you to agree with it. So you agreed God done the healing. So what's he doing out there? He's healing the sick around the world today, right? If there's a dead person raised, God's doing it. You know what that's for? To prove he's God, number one. Number two is to try his church to see if she will stay with the word when maybe her signs and wonders are not as amount of the others. Give you a sign and it come to pass, but take you to another God. You're not to listen to him. Yeah, it's like some fellow named Lowry years ago, and people were talking about him, and this lady said something to my wife about it and said, "We can't say nothing about him. He's Lowry. They believe he's God." She said, "Was he, do you agree with what Brother Brown said?" Said, "No." She said, "Well, then we can say all we want to, because he's off the word." Yeah. If he's off the word, he's off the word. I don't care who, what his name is. Yeah. All right. But I gave you a bunch of quotes from Brother Branham. Yeah. And look what he says from Fellowship, which is number two in your notes, 1962:519. Kind of down in the middle of it. You can read all between there and see it's working okay and what I'm saying. But he's talking about he was a prophet. Looked like God turned his back on him, but just to try and see if he would stay with the word. It looks like God turned his back against his prophets a lot of times, right? Because he would allow things to take place. He allowed Janice and Jambres, not even recorded as prophets, they were magicians. He allowed them to be able to bring snakes after Moses done it. He allowed them to bring flies, fleas, frogs, etc. But he wouldn't allow them to be able to take them away. Because if they'd have been able to take him away, they could have healed. That's what your prophet says. That's sensible. But God allowed that. Well, wouldn't it be something to Moses, him throw his rod down? Now, God done told him, you know, what to do, and he throw his rod down, and he become a snake. Here, Janice and Jambres just throw theirs down, and they become snakes. And Moses run back to the wilderness. Here, I'm going. I'm going to the burning bush, because I need to know more. No, he just stood still. That's what I've had to do many a year, because people run in their mouth about all of this, about we ain't got this, we ain't got that. To keep from hurting feelings, when people would preach, well, we don't have this, we don't see the signs and miracles. You think I'm rough, but I've tried my best to keep a calm cool about it, knowing that one day God will prove what is true. And when he does, I don't have to worry about it. If I'm right, it'd be all right. If I'm wrong, I can take correction. Huh? But see, make sure your correction's in here. Our life, we get through all the things, forget that. Make sure your correction's in here. Yeah. All right? Because see, I can read too. You know? But listen. He says we're all tried. Every Christian, every son, every child that comes to God is tried by the word. See? If you'll be loyal to it. When the showdown comes, what decision are you going to make? That's it. And he that cannot stand chastisement but goes on with the world, he is an illegitimate child and not a son and daughter of God. Certainly not. He said the spiritually minded catches the word. All right. Exhortation, 19E11 exhortation on healing. however how you say that, I guess, exhortation, 51501. Sometimes I'll admit this, that our Heavenly Father sometimes chastens us with sicknesses. Sickness. Permitting Satan to do it. If you're ever sick, God has to permit you to be sick. Now, I've explained that, and I hope it's plain, and I know that's what I said. Try to explain something, then you get in trouble. We're living in a world where colds and stuff like that doesn't mean that you're lost. We're in a world where this is happening. We're talking about demons. We're talking about other things. Don't say every time you get a bad cold, my sinuses run the devil's after me. No, that's life. It's sicknesses. See? Permits that to run on into some problem. Permitting Satan to do it, to try us sometimes, to bring us back. Now listen to what he says. If we go out of the way, then our Heavenly Father might let something happen to us to bring us back. But it'll only be for the good. See? The chastening of our Father is not pleasant for a season, but finally it brings all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And if it was way away from God and out of the will of the God, never God. You know, it's kind of hard to stand here and say that all things work together for good. When Monday, I guess it was, a pipe busted off in the basement. Most of you don't know about it, and it flooded the basement. June was screaming, hollering bloody murder because she had pulled a pipe and it busted off. She was doing a wonderful job, pushing up, crying, and trying to get everybody on the phone with a trash can and putting it over in and bailing it out. And we got water, landed over a lot of the basement. But we never did how to sweep it out. So I had to fix the pipe. And I done the best I could do, the best thing I could figure out to do. Because the pipes were offset and there was no way to push it up to be able to put a fitting in to make it perfect. Okay? So I buy one of these connectors that goes in between like that with the rubber bushings on each end and you tighten it down. How many of you got them in your homes? All right. Works perfect, except that time. We left, what day was it? Thursday? The last thing I checked was to make sure there's no leak on it. We left about 5 o'clock, something like that. Went home, got back up here about 9 o'clock when we got back from the doctor and my wife and things. And the whole basement was full of water. Running out the doors. So you know it was deep. Yeah. And here we are, pushing it out the door. You know. And having to dry it up. So if you go down there and a bunch of tile is missing, just look around, it's floated off somewhere else, you know. You say, well, Brother Dale, what went wrong? What did you do or somebody do that caused that? I done the best I could do to fix the pipe. I ain't figuring out what the rest of it is, whether it was God or the devil, and I ain't concerned about it. Because either way, I never lost my cool or my doing, so we just kept working and got the water out. And I tried my best to fix the pipe back. Okay? It's hard to say. All things work together for good. I told that to a lady one time at her funeral, and her husband had died, and she said, well, how can that be, Sam, when I got a husband dying and a son over here that's sick? I said, I don't know, sis, but that's what the Bible says. It said, all things work together. Okay? Got to be something out of it. It's hard to do, but sometimes, you know, you just... But he said, sometimes he lets Satan bring sickness to us. Why? So that he can heal us. Right? I thought we believed that he was a healer. Then if he's a healer, then somebody's got to be sick. Right? Well, I'm not like Brother Moat said about it one time, and I agreed with him. He said, this man said, I'm sick for the glory of the Lord. Brother Moat was like me. He was always too blunt, I guess. He said, well, I guess you're saying if you got one arm off for the glory of the Lord, just cut the other one off for the glory of the Lord. Well, he certainly didn't want to volunteer arms. It ain't to say we're sick for the glory of the Lord. It's to say that sickness comes upon us because of the natural environment. Things happen because of the world we live in. And the glory of the Lord is we're delivered. Not that we're sick. People say, well, maybe by me having this, they can find a cure for this by testing my body. Now, where you read that in the Bible? Me? Oh, but we want to make our own. Yeah, we try to make everything. Okay. Unchangeable God, 1962. When God makes a promise and an opposition rise, that's only the test whether you really got the word or not. Okay. The man that's got good gold don't mind going to the testing stone. See? That's true. See, it's only, Peter said, I believe it, that these trials are come to test us, try us, see what we'll do with it. To see what we'll do with it. Okay? Second seal, which is 1963:3:19. Look what he says. God help our unbelief, take it away from us. Lord, we want to receive rapture and grace. We want to be able, when that mysterious thunder thunders out yonder and the church is taken up, we want to be ready to receive it, Lord. Grant it. Try us, Lord, by thy word. Let us look into it and see. Let us look into it, and if we see that we have failed. See? Keep on reading. Shalom, 1964:1-12. Oh, God may permit crossroads. He may permit crossroads to try us, to perfect us for his service. He may permit that now, church, both here and on the tape. He might permit the crossroads of our service, for our service. Like he did Daniel. He gave Daniel a little crossroad one day, you know, and he was a great man down in Babylon. He did. He let the king turn against him and throwed him in the lion's den. It only perfected him. Sure did. Let the Hebrew children go into the furnace. They was determined to stand for his word. Shalom, going on down, which is a different, no, it's the same one, but it's different paragraph, paragraph 216. Suffering for his name's sake is growing pains of his grace. Yeah. Suffering for his word, see, is growing pains of his grace. Yes, sir. Just remember, it's the grace of God has been given to you. Right? And see, these were all, most all of them, was laying on my desk before all the pipes come off. Okay? Growing pain. Shalom. This is 1964:1-19, number 8 on your note. And so when somebody begins to make fun of you, say, she's old-fashioned, look at him, I'll tell you, he used to be, all right, just remember, it's growing pains. That's what persecution's good for, is growing pains. Oh, yes. He permits crosses and crossroads and junctions. He always does that in order to perfect us for his service. He permits those things to happen. Can't you understand that? He does that so he can perfect you for the calling he's called you for. That's your growing pains. He did Daniel that away. He did the Hebrew children that away. Fiery furnace, what? The only thing the fiery furnace does, he says, I just got the bands off of the Hebrew children. But see, we're looking at it so bad. All right, shalom. This is another paragraph in the same message. It's 1964:1-19. He talks about how that they looked ahead, they done this, they promised it, they looked. And he says, and then why does others make fun of me, Brother Branham? You know, others make fun of me and say, I got long hair, I'm old-fashioned to the men, because I believe the Bible. You don't have fellowship with us no more. We can't accept you because that you believe such and such. And you know it exactly the way the word's written. And you know it's exactly the way the word's written. See, you're staying with the truth. No. God's duty-bound to you to back up that. Duty-bound to you to back up then. God's duty-bound to you to back that up then. He certainly is. Don't matter what about it. Why they say to make fun of us, God's a jealous God. Remember, suffering for his word's sake is growing pains of his grace. When you suffer for his word's sake, it's growing pains. Growing pains. Look at the last one. Total separation, one verlet, 64-120, paragraph 24. I know they stand criticism, but if we wasn't criticized, then there'd be something wrong. The world always knows its own. But as I've said, that remember, criticism on account of the Word of God is only growing pains of His grace. It shows that you have separated yourself to be a Christian, to act like one, to live like one, obey every commandment of God. It's a Nazarite vow. You call to be separated from the things of the world. Listen, growing pains of His grace. That's what we've been doing for 40-something years. Well, look like one of these days it'd come to a place we'd get something. You're not looking at what's happening, number one. So whenever things happen, you remember the prophet I gave it to you the other day? And see, people can't see it. I used to ask God, and I know I'm serious, and I know you don't understand me, but a certain brother used to come to this church, and I used to ask him, please don't do nothing while that man's here. You say, I'll agree with you. But you see, that man was only built on signs and wonders, and he'd run around the country spouting off about things happening, and this church would fill up with a bunch of unbelievers. And all they wanted was signs and wonders. I believe in it, and you know better than to say anything about that Brother Dale don't believe in signs and wonders. You know better than that. Because you know this man standing here can talk to you what God has done. And that I've seen an angel three times. That I saw God when I was 10 or 11 years old. That's not bragging. That's telling the truth. So don't think that Brother Dale doesn't believe in signs and wonders. I believe in it more than anybody in this building or anybody in this world, because I know what God is. But I know if there's anybody healed anywhere, He done it. But I know He's doing it out there to try me. He's making it look like that we're nothing, sitting here with sickness among us and all like that, right? People dying among us. You know, other churches are just rejoicing. And, you know, even in a denomination, just having great revivals and having great sweeping movings and having all kind of things. Yeah, go there and look it over. What do they got? A bunch of short-haired, short shorts on, all kind of things running through the church, but glory, hallelujah, they got the move of God. See, that's to try you. And even somebody come in the message to try to bring you to another doctrine, another God. A River Jordan, a Two-Soul, or a Seventh Thunder Virtue, or some kind of a doctrine. Try to take you to them things. It's to try us. We've been in a child training period for ever since the prophet left to see if we would stay with the Word. God knowed the prophet would stay with it, but you know He tested him to see. Right? You know that He knew Abraham would give his son, but you know He had to let Abraham go up there and get ready. Right? See, that's my point. Sure, I'm looking for something to happen. I'm looking for when the head and body unites as a whole unit, things are going to move. But a whole unit won't be like everybody thinks. It's not going to be everybody in this message. Because if we're not tutored and trained and positionally placed in the Word to be waiting, there is no headstone to come to that person, which means we're going to go by the grave if we don't reach that place. And I said that how many years ago? 30, that there would be plenty of people in this message that would die and go by the grave because they did not have nobody to teach them the message that the prophet had brought. You know that's been said 20, 30 years ago, because I've reminded you of it 20, 30 times, I guess, or 100 times. Not to be nasty or sarcastic, but to tell the truth. If I don't have it, and I don't have the goods, I'm going by the grave. I'm talking about that I'm a born-again Christian, and I've even come to the faith of the fathers, maybe. See, coming to the faith of the fathers is just a place to be waiting. for the headstone to come. Brother Moat preached that years ago, and I rejoice. He said, there's a place we got to be waiting. What do you think I read that quote to start with? That the head and body would have to unite in the last days to bring the message. I've told you over and over, I'm not arguing about Brother Branham coming back, whether he's coming back, what he is. I believe he'll be back. But I believe it'll be in the resurrection of all the saints. And then he can preach to us for 30, 40 days. And that way, I've told you what I even believe, that he, through a supernatural being, could stand in every church in this message and preach if he wanted to at the same time. Do you think Brother Dale don't believe in supernatural? I believe that God is so supernatural, he could stand in every church in this world at one time and be standing there as a person, because he's God. But you see, he's trying us. But why would we be concerned? Well, Brother Dale, you hurt my feelings because you're talking about me. Well, as Brother Moat used to make a good illustration, and I've never been there, and thank God for all these military people that's been there, but you remember when some of you older ones had to do the crawling underneath the barbed wire and the machine gun was shooting over the top of you? Well, really live ammo. Right? Well, you know, nobody didn't get hurt unless they stood up. Well, that's what Brother Moldy's point was. I can shoot a gun all the way across this congregation. Right? The only person going to get hurt is one standing up. So, if the shoe fits, wear it. But listen, I'm trying to get you and I to see God has been doing the greatest thing that he could ever want to do. And that's child training his children to see if they'd stay with the word. He has sent two souls, seven thunder virtues, polygamies, all of these things among the people of the message. The George Pikes, the Lowrys, the all believing there were gods and things. He's let that come among us to see if we'd go after it. And giving them signs and wonders that looked like it was backing up their ministry. No, it was proving God was real. But he's done that to try you and me. To see what we'll do with the word. Let's stand. Come on, use this. To see if we'll stay with the word. Brother Dale, you ain't nothing but word, word, word. Well, you tell me something else is supposed to be, then I'll just be glad to change with you. Because I believe signs follow them that believe. We've seen God come here and do great things. Well, I'm sick. Well, okay, believe it. Well, I've asked God, and he ain't delivered me. Ask him one more time. But believe when you're asking that he hears you. I used to go with Brother Moat and them when they go pray for the sick, because I was just a young Christian, you know, even in a Christian, but coming out of the Baptist, I used to go with them. And I remember we were up here at a Hooper family, and Brother Moat began to explain scriptures. And I got them written in my Bible in perfect order like he'd explain. And one of them was, if God hears you. And he'd say, you know, God is so great he can hear a gnat as it flaps its wing. That he can hear everything that ever does in the world. Said, surely then he hears us. Because he said if we'd ask anything in his name. And I saw a lady paralyzed set up. Oh yeah, they had a son that was a Pentecostal preacher. And he prayed for the sick. But when it got serious, they called Brother Moat and Brother Tatum. We got there that day and she took and she said, told that boy, she said, take that Bible. And lay it on my feet. I said, well, this lady's, you know. Brother Moat, when we got through praying, she just sat right up in the middle of the bed. Just straight up sat there probably 20 minutes. And I thought, my Lord, she's pretty heavily set, okay. You know, pretty, weighed a lot. And I thought, my Lord, I couldn't sit like that. Her feet just straight out. It wasn't straight out. She sat there. I thought, well, there's one thing about it. God had to touch that lady. And Brother Moat said, now when you get to feeling better, You put forth a little exercise on your own, you know. Said, you get up out of the bed, you know, kind of ease over the edge. She said, you get out of this room, I'm getting up. And she did. And I started off seeing miracles that I was a Baptist that believed in. Then I saw the God I believed in. You know, all right. What do we got?
272 in the spiral book, of course.
272 in the spiral book. Anybody have a need? Because I still believe that same God's here.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty of my soul. Bread of heaven.
Do you have a need?
Till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup. I lift it up.
Do you? You believe? Father, thank you for touching our brother. You are the God of the I Am. You're ever present. We just tried to talk about you today, and no matter what we are, it has nothing to do with it. It's what we said about you that we believe. By your stripes, our brother's healed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up.
One more time before we go, if anybody has a need.
Here's my cup. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven.
Father, you heard our sister about this one. It's real sick. We ask you, Father, to just reach down and touch. We send this prayer cloth in remembrance of your words. But we maybe can't be there to lay hands on, but we can send something else. We can send your presence. We'll just touch this one, and may we get a good report here in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Fill it up and make me whole.
Sing it unto him.
Here's my cup. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Okay, buddy. No. All right. We're just going to put a little bit there right there. Okay. Love you, Father, our little buddy, Lord. He's been sick. He's got all this rash or whatever it is. We don't know. It's Satan trying to hinder him. But we just lay our hands there, Lord, believe in your word. That by your stripes, our little buddy's delivered. In Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else?
Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. If I come, if
you're dismissed. Remember the service at 2 o'clock. Pray one for another. Father, bless everybody and just be with us as we go eat a natural meal, Lord, in Jesus' name.